Welcome back. It's a Wednesday, the 8th day of June, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Call. And today I did something I don't often do, and that is start right off with the recording before I've even finished taking a look at all of the news stories today and put them together in some kind of a sequence. And you probably are thinking, well, why? Admittedly, every now and then there's a story that's so important we have to lead off with that, or that fits the theme of the day, whatever that ends up being, so well that we have to start off with that. But this one fits the theme of the last, well, either several weeks or arguably months, or maybe ever since the United States descended into being an utter farce. And I bet you can catch the punchline before I even get through the headline from the UK's Daily Mail. Here we go, and let me see if I can do it straight. Healthy young people are dying suddenly and unexpectedly from a mysterious syndrome as doctors now seek answers through a new national register. Yeah, it says people under age 40 are being urged to go and get their hearts checked because they may be at risk of sudden adult death syndrome, or SADS. You know what they don't say in here, folks, anywhere? Yeah, especially if they've been poked, or double poked, and taken a Zyklon B booster. And you know what? Not once in here do they even so much as hint at what the real problem behind the mystery just might be. Although, here's a shocker, and I checked, the word vaccine does not appear anywhere in this entire piece. Although, that's really SADS. Because you'd think it would be beyond stinking obvious, especially to someone who claims to be a doctor or a general practitioner or a nurse or even a health professional of the lowest kind. And here's the closest in this entire piece that the article actually gets to admitting the obvious and the truth. SADS, it says, is, quote, an umbrella term to describe unexpected deaths in young people. You need a really big umbrella if all of a sudden, for unexplained reasons, people are dropping like flies. Especially since they tried to start forcing young people to take that Zyklon B injection, and you don't really want them to know why. This, according to the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners, and it most commonly occurs in people under 40 years of age, but, they note, it seems to be fatal for all kinds of people, regardless of whether or not they maintain a fit and healthy lifestyle. Well, with one really obvious exception that they're not about to mention. Like, for example, do they allow themselves to be used as an experimental guinea pig for DNA modifications? And this is really helpful, and almost as stupid. There are signs to be on the lookout for, like that they have a family history, albeit recent, of a SADS diagnosis, or sudden unexplained death of a family member, especially if they took the poison poke not long ago, or fainting or seizure during exercise, or when excited or startled. And you gotta love this little bit of truth slipping in there. The term is used when a post-mortem cannot find an obvious cause of death. Well, or at least not a cause of death, even if it is obvious that you're gonna be allowed to talk about. Now, folks, here I pause, and while I will contend that the Bible makes plenty of predictions, and I'm more than happy to read them and look at them and try to understand what's happening now and put it into the proper context, I don't generally, even remotely, try to make predictions myself. But sometimes it's so easy and so obvious because it's so historically repetitive that you can't help it. Obvious example, no fiat currency in history has ever survived, so the United States dollar almost certainly won't be the first. It's hardly a prediction when you can't help but see the road signs to the inevitable. So here goes. Two predictions on this story. First, since SADS is an umbrella term being used to cover up the massive numbers of deaths expected from the poison poke, there now needs to be a major attempt to cover up the fact that SADS kind of accelerated. As a matter of fact, went into warp drive about the same time that a lot of young people and others started being mandated or forced or cajoled or just plain duped into taking the poison poke and then following that up with another one and then who knows how many more after that. So if you're trying to use the umbrella to cover up the real cause, well, you'd better lie about when the real cause started happening, too. I expect, in other words, and yes, we'll predict, Carnac says, we're going to see more and more people that are ex post facto diagnosed as having, oh yeah, that was SADS and it happened, oh yeah, it happened before the poison poke. There you go. That makes two. Or maybe three. And don't forget that so far as the mainstream media is concerned, just one person who died before taking the poison poke is enough to call you a conspiracy theorist for daring to suggest otherwise. So that's an easy prediction. As a matter of fact, I think we're seeing the seeds planted for it right here in this story. Prediction number two, yeah, this one's obvious as well. There's going to be a whole lot of SADS going on. I'm going to call this next piece a related story, although certainly not for reasons that the Daily Mail or New York Times is going to admit. But News Stud will talk about it. In less than 24 hours, says their headline, the CDC has pulled a recommendation about the monkeypox outbreak, and quite frankly, they have changed their recommendations about monkeypox twice in less than 24 hours because, arguably, it was a political stunt to begin with. And here's the even bigger point, folks. It turns out to be politically embarrassing to the beyond politically correct because, oops, it only seems to affect people who are of the really politically correct gender or sexual orientation. And you know, you can talk about doing it, you can teach it to kids, but you can't talk about the consequences. Because, as you may have heard, but probably not from the WAPO, NPR, or New York Times, overseas health officials have confirmed a small global outbreak of booga 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 pox, a money pox, as some are now calling it, that occurred at two large, yep, here's the word you're not allowed to say in the same sentence, pride events, one of which drew at least 80,000 people. The problem, and Reuters admits this, is that, quote, Madrid authorities have been working on tracing the cases, mainly from a single outbreak in a sauna, which the story notes is a politically correct term used in Spain to describe establishments popular with gay men looking for sex rather than just a bathhouse. And here's the real oops. According to multiple reports from news agencies and health officials, the kind that haven't yet been banned from all kinds of socialist media platforms, the monkeypox virus is mainly spread via skin-to-skin contact. Right there, you lose the mask mandate madness. And the exchanging of bodily fluids. So here's another really easy prediction, folks. That means either the next plandemic won't be monkeypox, or it'll be a new booga booga variant that doesn't have any politically incorrect shortcomings. Because you know the criterion, the real booga booga pox can only be stopped by masks, and then later, the vaccine. And just to bring home that point, Paul Goldberg's story notes that on June 6, 2022, the Centers for Death and Control changed their website around 1 p.m. to raise the monkeypox alert level to 2 and demanding people wear your masks to stop the spread. Oh, yeah, that'll do it. Oops, yep. By 3 p.m., though, on June 7th, the suggestion to wear masks was, deleted. And somehow, folks, I think if the CDC came right out and said, yep, wear rubber when you have gay sex, it just wouldn't have the same scary, threatening appeal on Main Street. Because for now, at least, even some leftists may have a limit to what they're deadly afraid of. And so probably the original monkeypox, at least, will follow exit stage left from the world stage not too long thereafter. Meanwhile, we'll depart from this story with one final observation. There are so far 31 cases of monkeypox in the entire United States since the outbreak that started in May 2022. New York City has the most, and oh yeah, guess where number two is? The state of California with 6. And would you like to speculate on which city? And finally, this piece, while we're more or less on the subject, from the truth portion of the medical frontier, this comes from the burning platform via Children's Health Defense, about studies suggesting a link now being released between a rapidly progressing, incurable, and fatal prion disease known as CJD or Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease and, say it with me, folks, the COVID-19 Cyclone B poison poke, a.k.a. not vaccines. Researchers believe that the prion region from the original COVID-19 Wuhan variant spike protein was incorporated into mRNA vaccines and adenovirus vector vaccines, now given to hundreds of millions of unsuspecting humans, and that it can be the cause of a new type of rapidly progressing sporadic CJD, which the Mayo Clinic says is a degenerative brain disorder that leads to dementia and ultimately death. And although the Omicron variant doesn't have a prion region on its spike protein, current COVID-19 vaccines, says the story, still use the same genetic material, including the prion region of the parent Wuhan strain. And a French preprint of the paper published in May on CJD and COVID-19 vaccination identified a new form of sporadic CJD that occurred within just days of receiving a first or second dose of, you got it, the Pfizer or Moderna. So-called vaccines that your host continues to suggest are better described as Zyklon B injections. Researchers have said have analyzed 26 cases of CJD and found that the first symptoms appeared an average of 11.38 days after injection with you-know-what, and of the 26 cases, 20 had died by the time the study was published, 6 were still alive just a few months later. The 20 deaths, researchers wrote, occurred only 4.76 months after injection. Among them, 8 led to a sudden death within 2.5 months, all of which confirms the, quote, radically different nature of this new form of CJD, whereas the classic form typically requires several decades to run its course, in other words, to kill people, said the researchers. The researchers noted they've just begun to study the first cases of patients with Omicron, and that in all the cases they've seen so far, the prion region has disappeared. Interesting, isn't it, folks? It's almost like, for those with eyes to see, the Omicron variant is a gift that replaces any need for the vaccine with something that provides far better, and as it turns out, safer immunity to boot. For a whole bunch of reasons, including, but not limited to the fact, that it seems to be free of the prion issue as well. However, they said, the Wuhan variant's spike protein gene information, including the prion region, was integrated into the Pfizer and Moderna mRNA vaccines and the AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson adenovirus vector vaccines. Quote, we have demonstrated that the spikes of the Pfizer and Moderna mRNA injections also contain the same prion region, they wrote. The same is true of all the other SARS-CoV-2 vaccines, since all are made from the spike sequence of the SARS-CoV-2 from Wuhan, which we have demonstrated contains the prion region. The Defender story goes on to describe several specific cases and notes that the latest VAERS data points to 56 cases of rapid onset CJD that have been reported following COVID-1984, not vaccines, since mid-December of 2021. And don't forget, historically, VAERS has been shown to report maybe 1% of actual vaccine adverse events. From there, got a couple stories next on what your host has suggested for a while now is clearly the intended and deliberate destruction of America and indeed so much of the world's infrastructure. This one from WorldNet Daily by Thomas Catanacci says that a key Texas petroleum refinery that produces more than 200,000 barrels of fuel per day is facing, say it with me folks, a premature shutdown that will no doubt increase pressure on domestic fuel supplies. Already Biden foobarred. The Houston facility, operated by LyondellBasell Industries, spans 700 acres and is scheduled to permanently close by the end of 2023, but could shut down earlier, and you can pretty much count on it, folks, your host can't help but think, if a, quote, major equipment failure, or how about a fire, Scarecrow, spreads to major units, said two people familiar with the issues to Reuters, all because of the heavy financial burden required to upgrade their aging infrastructure. And let's not kid ourselves, folks. In this environment, you'd have to be a fool to spend megabucks building a facility to provide a product that Big Brother wants dead. The makeup of the fuel output of this facility is kind of interesting, too. They produce almost 93,000 barrels per day of diesel fuel and almost 45,000 barrels per day of jet fuel, which at the basic level is pretty similar, along with 89,000 barrels per day of gasoline, meaning that about 60% of the loss of this facility will be felt in kerosene and impact things like trucking and farming and basically getting food, goods, and people at a commercial level to the places they're needed. And it's one of the top 25 largest facilities in the United States. Since the pandemic, says WorldNet Daily, six refineries with a capacity of over 800,000 barrels per day of oil have shuttered, while five additional refineries with a capacity of 408,000 barrels per day of oil are idle. The largest number that are sitting there doing nothing, in spite of the amazing fuel shortages since 2012. And I'm going to ask this rhetorical question before we move on to the next story. Could you imagine that anything like this would happen in a free market? So here we go. And to ponder the irony of the source and subject of this one. Biden declares U.S. energy emergency. Well, he ought to know. He and those who are pulling his puppet strings made it happen. But that's not exactly the story they're telling. This actually is the way Russia Today, or RT, quotes what they're pushing. The nation's ability to provide sufficient electricity, it says, is under threat, partly because of the Russia-Ukraine conflict, claims the U.S., and I'm going to put this word in here, faux president, who's blamed Russia for a looming crisis in the U.S., saying the once-free United States may not be able to generate enough electricity, and they're patting themselves on the back for that one, don't you know, to meet consumer demand. Because, yeah, the war that they haven't quite managed to get to go nuclear yet in Ukraine. Biden declared an energy emergency on Monday, saying national security und the quality of life are jeopardized by the potential shortfalls in power supplies that they have been pushing. And as a result, he went for more of the hair of the dog, invoking the Defense Production Act, a command economy regime put in place in response to the Korean War to spur domestic production.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Or at least that's the story they're telling, of things like solar panels and other forms of what the regime calls clean energy to boost power supplies. Oh yeah, and also to put a final wooden stake in what's left of the economy. Multiple factors, says the Biden Fuhrer, are threatening the ability of the United States to provide sufficient electricity generation. Yeah, like the guy reading from the teleprompter, to serve expected customer demand. They're trying to force you to buy an electric car that you won't be able to keep charged, especially with a power grid brownout. Or worse. These factors include, but hey, let's be honest here, obviously are not limited to and probably aren't even related to, quote, disruptions of energy markets caused by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. No, caused by the response to that. And extreme weather events exacerbated by climate change. And don't you dare suggest that the COVID-19 money printing to infinity, or shutdown of the U.S. economy, or pipelines starting on day one, or complete destruction of the supply chain, or the destruction of energy infrastructure, or the mandated move to things that use a lot more electricity while shutting down generating plants that make it, could have had anything to do with it. And while we're at it, let's ignore just how much energy it takes to make a solar panel or a windmill that we aren't going to be able to really make for much longer either. You've heard the analogies for years, folks. This is the kind of an idiot who smashes you over the head with a hammer repeatedly and then blames you for giving him a headache. And I guess to continue the analogy and add insult to injury, now he calls his own three-letter agency cops to arrest you for it. And here's what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's a related story. On June 7th, the Secretary of Aktung Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, who doesn't recognize an invasion of the southern border, especially when it utterly devastates national security, issued instead a National Terrorism Advisory System, NTAS, bulletin regarding the continued heightened threat environment across the formerly free United States. It's the sixth one that these idiots have issued since January of 2021, replacing the current bulletin set to expire at 2 p.m. that very same day. We expect the violence in communities and the environment, he said, to become, quote, more dynamic in coming months. How's that for tipping their hand? If you've been paying attention, folks, you absolutely should expect it, too. And they warned about acts of violence against a range of possible targets. And as you might expect, the term gun-free killing zone does not make their list. Although that's basically what we're talking about. What does make their list, though, although with the usual politically correct phraseology, are ordinary law-abiding Americans who actually still believe there's a Bill of Rights. Quote, DHS continues to assess that the primary threat of mass casualty violence in the United States stems from, oh, here it is again, lone offenders, with or without FBI support, I can't help but think, and small groups motivated by a range, but always very, very far right, don't you know, of ideological beliefs and or personal grievances. So if you see something, say something, and be sure and report it to your local fusion center or Gestapo field office. All right, so you're probably thinking, is there even any remotely good news, or at least news that isn't insulting to our intelligence? How about this one? From the most unlikely of places, which makes it even more eye-opening and downright encouraging. On Tuesday, voters in, of all places, the far-left gay capital of the left coast, San Francisco, gave one of the most openly evil so-called chief prosecutors, the uber-progressive Soros puppet DA Chissa Boudin, the boot. Having discovered, as Andrea Winberg notes and Tyler Durden and Zero Edge report too, that the reality of hard left anti-human governance is much less appealing than the bogus theory and the empty promises. Continues the story. The former public defender backed by left-wing billionaire George Soros has come under fire for failed progressive criminal justice reform policies that have led to a sharp increase, and that's putting it mildly, in things like drug overdose deaths, homelessness, and massive thefts, including smash-and-grab robberies, car burglaries, shoplifting, and other property crimes, which, of course, is precisely what communists are so adept at. Homicide rates and even gun crimes in that gun control paradise have increased since Biden took office, while at the same time he has sought to end cash bail, reduce incarceration rates, and scrutinize police misconduct, which almost certainly means something different in this city and context than you might think. He is, of course, now famous for not wanting to prosecute so-called minor offenses, and your host suggests the needles and feces lining the streets show the success of those policies. He once worked as a translator for Venezuelan socialist dictator Hugo Chavez. Now I guess you could say he works as a translator for Soros and California dictator Gruesome Newsom. He hails from a long line of outright Marxists and, yes, criminal and convicted radical parents, both of whom spent decades in prison for crimes committed with the Weather Underground, whereupon he was adopted and raised by, get this, and no, we're not kidding, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. He fired 7 prosecutors his second day on the job, and since then, at least 50 prosecutor support and victim services staff had either been fired or quit their jobs over his idiotic, far-left, so-called progressive agenda. One former prosecutor, who produced a list of those either fired or that had quit, said at the time, quote, "The office is imploding," but he requested anonymity for, yeah, fear of reprisal. The story then goes on to say what happened was a massive recall effort, including not only the usual people who don't like the far-left anti-constitutional policies, but a number of prominent Democrats, including Nima Rahimi, attorney and executive board member of the California Democratic Party, with the result that the San Francisco Board of Elections certified a petition back in November to recall Biden after a group called San Franciscans for Public Safety, including a bunch of high-profile Democrats, launched the petition effort, gathering 83,000 signatures, far surpassing the 51,325 needed to force a recall election, which finally took place this week. And in response to the yes or no question, and I'm going to paraphrase it just a bit, should this scumbag be removed from office, 61.3% of San Francisco voters said yes. You know, that almost certainly means a lot of those were real living people. Those putting the recall petition up claim that Biden failed to keep his promises to deliver criminal justice reform and police accountability, saying, quote, "Biden is not keeping San Francisco safe. He refuses to adequately prosecute criminals," and that's an understatement, "and fails to take the drug dealing crisis seriously. He doesn't hold serial offenders accountable, getting them released from custody, and his response to victims is that, quote, hopefully home burglaries will go down." For his part, Biden dismissed the recall effort as, say it with me, folks, a right-wing conspiracy, or at least a right-wing campaign, based on, quote, "false and disproven Republican talking points, attempting to undo progress, und take us backwards." To which a landslide of voters obviously said, yeah, if you think this is progress, then backwards we need to go. And you, communist Biden, need to be gone. So, folks, good news and good riddance. Sadly, though, and let's not forget this, that one guy is not even the tip of a huge iceberg. And we'll close with a couple of more bits of good news. This first one from Children's Health Defense that says, in a lawsuit filed on June 2nd, a number of doctors have sued the FDA, alleging that the Federal Death Agency's crusade against ivermectin was, quote, unlawful interference with their ability to treat patients because they acted outside their authority by trying to direct that ivermectin not be used to treat patients, even though the drug is fully approved by the FDA for human use, and as it turns out, a hell of a lot more effective than killing people with an experimental mRNA gene therapy. And the lawsuit, they note, isn't about whether or not ivermectin is effective. It's about whether the patient and doctor have anything to say about it. And finally, we have this bit of good news from Steve Kirsch, who's done a survey suggesting the public is finally waking up to the fact that we were lied to, big time and that there's no way to spin it. Most people, he believes, have now come to realize that COVID vaccines, or not vaccines, have now killed more people in just 1.5 years than all 70-plus other vaccines combined over the past 3-plus decades. And the more unvaccinated you are, the more likely you are to figure that out. And there may be several reasons for that, your host can't help but think, but the bottom line is good, folks. It means that more and more people are finally starting to wake up to the truth, even if it cost a number of those their lives to understand just how big the whoppers were. Thanks for joining us, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.